Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad to be in church tonight, aren't you? And we'll be in the book of 2 Timothy tonight. 2 Timothy, if you have your Bibles with you, 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy chapter number 2, if you'll find your place there. And while you're turning there, let me say it is an honor and a privilege for us to be here with you tonight in the service. Thank you, preacher, for allowing us to come. My wife and I, as preacher said, are representatives of Fairhaven Home for Men. Out of Life Baptist Church there in St. Stephen, South Carolina. And we have been in mission conference this week, and we were up at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Dennis, Mississippi, Belmont, whatever you want to call it, with Brother Waycaster this morning. And I was looking for a place to go to church tonight. Thank you, preacher, for letting us come. And then the opportunity to stand in the pulpit and preach the Word of God tonight. We don't take that lightly. We're thankful for the opportunity. And we pray we can say something to be a help and a blessing to you. We are the Willis family, my pastor, my father's, Brother Alfred Willis. And the Lord has allowed us the privilege to sit under his ministry for some 40 years now. We've been in one church all that time, trying to see people saved, get them grounded in the Word of God, and see them go on and serve the Lord and bring God all the honor and all the glory out of their lives. And the Lord birthed Fairhaven Ministry about 11 years ago now. We've been in operation, and God has done some tremendous things. I could stand here probably for hours and tell you the stories of what God has done in the life of Fairhaven Home for Men. We've seen men that were addicted to drugs and alcohol, men whose families were busted up, men that I guess society would say there is no hope for, there is no help for. And we've watched God save them, turn their lives around, put their families back together again. And tonight they're sitting in an independent fundamental Baptist church worshiping the Lord with their family and with their children. And I don't know about you, but I think that's what it's all about, is it not? And we give God all the honor and all the glory. I tell you, we live in a messed up world, don't we? You don't have to go too far, look too far to find people that are in serious trouble. And I'm glad that we have the answer. His name is Jesus Christ. There's no problem he cannot handle, no situation he cannot take care of. And I'm certainly thankful for that tonight. My family and I are with Prayer Baptist Missions International. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that mission board or not, but we are with Prayer Baptist Missions International there in Bowling Springs, South Carolina. And we are full-time representatives of the home. And we have been with them now for about a year, year and a half, I guess. And we're at about 70% of our personal support. And if I had one prayer request, I guess it would be, preacher, pray the Lord will help us get our support raised so we can focus on the ministry entirely. And God is doing great things. We've been in a building program now for a little over 6 years. When we first began the ministry, it's always been our philosophy to stay out of debt as much as possible. And God has helped us in that area. We just put the carpet in the building. Now we're waiting to put the furniture in and the equipment in the kitchen. And we've been praying, Lord, you're going to have to supply the need. We don't have the money. We don't have the means to get the money. And so, God, you're going to have to supply the need. And just the other day, a church wrote us a check for $100,000. $100,000 and sent it to us. The good part about that is it didn't bounce when it went to the bank. And so we thank the Lord for what he's done. So the building is paid for. We have the money to finish the building. And I think last count I had, we're averaging anywhere between 10 to 15 calls a week of men that are in trouble. The sad part about that is, and to a lot of people when I say it, the alarming part about that is 80% of the calls that we are receiving come from within the four walls of the church, not necessarily independent Baptist churches, but most of the call, or 80% of the calls that we receive come from within the church, and it's because of prescription drugs. And a lot of people get offended with me when I say that, get upset with me, but that is the day and hour in which we live. People take drugs, get up in the morning, take drugs, go to bed at night. I understand there are certain situations where that's necessary. I understand that. But people are addicted to prescription drugs. But I'm simple enough to believe this. If God can save a man, preacher, there's no addiction he cannot help him overcome. If I didn't believe that tonight, I'd close my Bible, go find me a motel somewhere, and I'd say, phooey on this, I quit.
But I believe the Lord is able, if He can save a man, deliver his soul from hell, there's no addiction that a man has in his life that the Lord cannot help him overcome. Amen? I believe that. And so we're thankful for the opportunity and the privilege the Lord's give us to be in the work of God, to have a part in seeing men's lives changed. And we want the Lord to get all the honor and to get all the glory. We do have some prayer cards, a picture of me and my wife and our children. We have four children. Our oldest one is 23. We have three girls and one boy. Our oldest one is 23. Our youngest one is 16. So most three of them are working. The one that's not working is a chaperone to the one that's dating. And so that's why they're not here tonight. Amen? And so please stop by and get a prayer card before you leave. And I always say put a picture where you go most often. That's probably the refrigerator. And when you see the picture, pray for us that the Lord would help us. COVID has done a work on traveling. It slowed a lot of meetings down. But we're thankful that the Lord has been faithful to meet the need. And we praise Him for that. I have a very simple thought in my heart tonight. I don't intend to be long at all. I really don't. I'm hungry, ready to find something to eat, so I don't intend to be long. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1. Thank you again, preacher, for letting us stand in the pulpit tonight. The Bible said, of course, Paul writing to Timothy, the Bible said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Can I read that one more time? The Bible said, Paul writing to Timothy, the Bible said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer, and I honestly won't be long tonight. I want to share a simple thought with you from these verses that I've read and you're hearing. Would you pray with us and pray for us? Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. You certainly have been good to us today, letting us be in the house of God, fellowship with God's people, sing the songs of Zion, hear the word of God preached. And we thank you for that opportunity. Lord, we thank you to be saved tonight for the blessings that we've experienced in our lives because of your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you've allowed me and my wife to be in this place tonight. Not only to come, but then the opportunity to stand in the pulpit and talk about the burden that you put on our heart. And then, Lord, try to preach the Word of God. Lord, we realize without your help, we can't do that. So I pray that, Lord, you would give us clarity of thought. Help us to say, Lord, what will bring honor, bring glory to you. Lord, may somebody get help tonight from the Word of God. For what you do, we'll thank you. We'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, you know 1 and 2 Timothy. I realize this is not a Sunday school lesson, but 1 and 2 Timothy as well as Titus are known as the pastoral epistles. They were letters that were written to men that pastored churches, giving them instruction regarding pastoral care, the qualifications of a pastor, and so on and so forth. I think there's a message in these verses, not only in that area, but to all of us that we can make application from and learn from. The text before us tonight reveals several characteristics about the man as we know, or who we know as the Apostle Paul. Look in chapter number 2, verse number 1. The Bible said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Number one, we're talking about the Apostle Paul. First of all, I want to say to you tonight, by way of introduction, he was an encouragement to the weak. Paul was an encouragement to the weak. He's writing to Timothy, who was a young man. He was not only young in age, young in the ministry, young pastor. Paul had been in this thing a while. He had been serving God a while. And he writes to Timothy and said, "Timothy, let me encourage you a little bit." He said, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Amen. If I want to be anything in my life, there's a lot of things I want to be. I want to be an encouragement to those that are were weak. Amen. That's what Paul was. Paul was an encouragement to those that were weak. Not only was he an encouragement to the weak, but look in chapter number 2, verse number 2, the Bible said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Paul was not only an encouragement to the weak, he was one that expounded the Word of God. Amen. Paul was a man that expounded the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have the opportunity to sit down and watch the Apostle Paul stand behind the pulpit and preach what thus saith the Lord. Paul was a man that expounded the Scripture. Amen. Now, I guess everybody's raised in a different way, I suppose. Everybody's taught a different way. But I'll tell you, friend, you cannot improve on a man taking the Bible and not preaching about the Bible, but preaching the Bible. You cannot improve on that kind of preaching. Amen. I like Bible preaching. Amen. If I am anything, if my family is anything, it's because the Lord's allowed us a privilege to sit under a man who happens to be my father that'll take the Bible and preach what thus saith the Lord. Amen. I like Bible preaching. Paul was a man that expounded the Word of God. Preacher, in my travels, and I'm sure you probably experienced it as well, you go to these so-called, they're independent by name, I guess, but I'm telling you, our churches are in sad shape. Amen. I think we've been in about 300 churches, maybe a little bit more, in the years that we've been traveling. Our churches are in sad shape, especially when it comes to the Sunday school hour. I mean, it's almost to the point of being a joke. It really is. I go to church to hear somebody take the Bible and expound the truths of the Word of God to me. Because I know that's the only thing that's going to get me through these days that we're living in. Paul was a man that was an encouragement to the weak. He was a man that expounded the Word of God. I want to say number 3, Paul was a man that was an example in his walk. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 1. Here's what he said to them. "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ." Paul walked with the Lord in such a way, preacher, he could look at the church and say, "I tell you what you need to do. You follow me as I follow the Lord." Amen. Paul was an encouragement to the weak. He was one who expounded the Word. He was an example in his walk. But not only that, Paul was an example in his walk. Paul, look in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 7. Notice what the Bible said. The Bible said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And I've kept the faith." Paul was a man that was an experienced warrior. Amen. Paul was a man that was a man who knew what it was to fight the spiritual battle. He said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, this verse has always amazed me. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith." Paul looked at Timothy. He said, "Timothy, I'll tell you something." He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith." I tell you, I don't know if I know anybody living that can make that kind of statement. That is a massive statement. I don't understand how... Now, we know Paul wasn't perfect. He had flesh and blood just like we do. I don't understand how a man could make that statement. But under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "Timothy, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I kept the faith." What Paul said. He was a man that was a experienced warrior. Look at chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." In the text before us tonight, as in other places throughout Paul's writing, he once again makes the comparison between the physical and the spiritual. Galatians chapter number 6, just for an example, Bible said, be not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So he talks about this matter of husbandry. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible said, every man that striveth for the mastery is a temperate of all things. Now they that do it obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He talks about this matter of being athlete. When we come to 2 Timothy, our text tonight, he talks about this matter of being a soldier. Paul likens the Christian life to this matter of being a soldier. As a matter of fact, in our text, you'll find this matter of husbandry, verse number 6. You'll find this matter of being an athlete, verse number 5. You'll find this matter of being a soldier, 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. All three of those are found in our text tonight. It's obvious, at least to me, preacher, it's obvious that the predominant thought on the mind of the Apostle Paul is this matter of being a soldier of Jesus Christ. To be more specific, not just a soldier in general, but a soldier that's willing to endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. Certainly, if there was one that was familiar with a soldier, it'd be the Apostle Paul. After all, he was locked up with them. He was under house arrest with them. He was on ships with them. He was in the storms with them. If anybody knew what it was to be a soldier, Paul knew what it was to be a soldier. Paul uses and elaborates on all three comparisons throughout his writings in the Scripture, and it seems that his purpose here is to define what the role and the reality of a soldier is. Amen. An example of a soldier's life is a life of strength. It's a life of submission. It's a life of stability. It's a life of self-discipline. It's a life of stamina. And it's a life of a servant, of a spirit, of a servant. Amen. Amen. This matter of being a soldier. I say to you tonight, a real soldier never enters the battlefield surrounded by the luxuries of home. Amen. Amen. But from a makeshift narrow tent, from where every kind of hardness and severity and unpleasantness can be found. That's where the life of a soldier begins. Amen. Even in peace, the soldier learns to suffer warfare by toil and discomfort and running over drill ground and working in trench making in the sweat of the brow of all things that are done. The soldier is preparing himself for battle. Amen. The life of a soldier is marked by unfamiliar territory, marked by fighting, marked by insecurity. It's marked by unrest. It's marked by opposition. It's marked by surprise attack. It's marked by the unseen. It's marked by the unknown, the uncertainty of returning home, disease and death, and on we could go. That's the life of a soldier. Amen. In other words, what I'm telling you tonight is this. It's marked by a life of hardness. Amen. Notice our text. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness. To endure means to suffer. Amen. To continue to exist in the same state or condition. To deal with, to accept, to hold out against, to sustain without impairment or yielding, to undergo and to remain firm. I'll deal with this thought just for a few minutes tonight on handling hardness. Handling hardness. You don't have to travel to understand this, but we are living in a day when people are facing hard times. Amen. Individuals are facing hard times. Right now tonight, while I stand in this pulpit, we have a man and his wife. She was a Catholic. She got saved several years ago. Her and her husband joined our church several years ago. He hit a deer here a few weeks ago and run his truck off the road and bruised him up real bad. Well, he seemed to recover from the hitting the deer process, hitting the deer and all that was involved in that. But in the meantime, they found out that his kidneys were shutting down and that he was hours from death. And tonight, he's on dialysis, and they're saying at any time now, he's going to cross over to the other side. Amen. I'm saying to you, people are facing hard times. Amen. Just to hear a few days ago, a friend of mine, an evangelist, been in the ministry for many years. His wife was in one hospital with COVID. He was in another hospital with COVID. And he died. His wife stayed in the nursing home for 22 days after his death because of COVID. They just buried him the other day. Brother Philip, what are you saying? I'm saying we're living in days when we're facing hard times. Amen. Better learn how we're going to handle those hard times when they come. Amen. Now, I believe you'd agree with me tonight. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I believe we're living in the last days. I believe Jesus is fixing to come. Amen. And in the last days, it's going to get dark. It's going to get difficult. How are we going to handle the hard times that come our way? Amen. John 16:33, the Bible said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen. I'm glad tonight that in the midst of chaos, in the midst of turmoil, we can have the peace of God on the inside. Amen. Amen. I do not understand how people live in a world like we live in today without knowing Jesus Christ and the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Amen. Somebody said it this way: the life of a believer consists of four different ships: sonship, worship, stewardship, and hardship. I'll say to you tonight, hardship comes in all kind of ways. Amen. Timothy and his hardship. Notice Timothy and his hardship regarding enlistment. Notice what the Bible said, verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God." Now pay attention to the details. Pay attention to the details. He was called upon to identify with the message of the gospel. Amen. Amen. Now, it's not hard to stand in the four walls of the church. It's not hard to live for God in the four walls of the church. The question comes, what do we do on the outside of these walls when this ungodly world is against everything we stand for? Amen. Timothy was enlisted. He was called to stand in regards to the message of the gospel. Timothy was asked to enlist in this battle. He was asked to associate himself. He was called upon to identify himself with the suffering of Christ. He was asked to identify himself with the suffering of Paul. Amen. Now you got to be honest with me tonight. You got to be honest. The natural tendency would be to avoid associating with those that's already being persecuted. I got flesh just like you got. Amen. My natural tendency is going to be to avoid associating with him. Amen. Timothy's asked to face hardship. Timothy, in regards to his enlistment, 2 Timothy 1:7. Notice what Paul told Timothy. "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Amen. Can I say to you tonight, fear may not stop you, but fear sure can cripple you. Amen. Timothy and his help regarding enlistment. Paul said, "Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier." How are we going to do that? It's very simple. Now, you ready? How are we going to do that? Number one, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How are we going to handle hardness in this day and hour in which we live? Here's the answer right here. That's the answer. He said, Brother Philip, don't you have something deeper than that? That's about as deep as you can get right there. Amen. How are we going to handle hardness in these days that we're living in? I tell you how we're going to do it. We're going to do it with the help of the Word of God. Amen. There's got to be a soundness. There's got to be a soundness. This day of turmoil, there's got to be a soundness in the life of the believer. And it comes from finding stability in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. There's got to be a soundness. Growth in the case there was a planting of a seed. Psalm 1:3, the Bible said, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Growth indicates a planting. Growth indicates perception. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There must be a soundness, a realization of growth. There must be a singleness of mind. Notice in chapter number 2, verse number 3 and 4. Notice what Paul said to Timothy. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. I want to say to you tonight, the soldier is not to be encumbered with the affairs of this life. Amen. Can I say that again? The soldier is not to be encumbered with the affairs of this life. Amen. There's always a condition of becoming a soldier. What's that? He's to give up his own business, give up his own way, give up his own desire in order that the battle might be won. Amen. That's the call of a soldier. It's the call of a soldier. Why? That he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. Amen. Amen. I say to you tonight, there's got to be a soundness. That's the realization of growth. There's got to be singleness of mind. That's the recognition of the goal. I want to say this thing about living for God is not about me. It's not about you. This thing about serving God is about giving him all the honor and all the glory through our lives. That's what it's all about. Amen. I'll say to you, last of all, not only is there a soundness, a realization of growth, a singleness, a recognition of the goal. Thank God there's strength. That's reliance on the grace of God. Notice what he said. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I can picture the Apostle Paul as he reflects back over his life and over his ministry. He cannot help but remember those that had walked away. Amen. Thereby causing him to tell Timothy some 25 different times, if I counted correctly, to be strong. Timothy, be strong. Timothy, you're going to face hardship. It's a part of life. Everybody experiences. Be strong. Strength's necessary for the battle. I don't know what I'm facing this week. You don't know what you're facing this week. We've got to be strong. Amen. Where does our strength come from? It comes from the grace of God in our life. Amen. Thou therefore be strong. Not only does he encourage Timothy to be strong, he tells him where he finds that strength. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know what grace is? Grace is divine help. It's the unmerited gift of the assistance from God. Amen. It's the unmerited favor of God. It's Christ. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what the grace of God is. Amen. You know what Isaiah 40 said? Isaiah 40 said, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. You know how we're going to continue? We're going to continue by the grace of God. Amen. What are you facing tonight? What are you going through? Going through some hard times. Amen. I'll tell you how you're going to make it. You're going to make it with the help of the Word of God. And you're going to survive with the grace of God. That's how you're going to make it. Amen. Amen. All of us have stories we could tell. I remember just about 3 or 4 years ago, I guess it was, me and my wife, we went to a funeral of a pastor who had committed suicide. We got in the car with my parents and we drove about 2 hours to a funeral. And I remember on the way to the funeral, my phone rang and I have 4 children. I have one. They say she gets it from me. I don't ever know when she's serious and when she's joking. And they say she gets that from me. I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, the phone rang on the way to the funeral. And my daughter on the other end said, "Daddy." I said, "What?" She said, "Daddy, the house is on fire." I started laughing. I started laughing. "Oh, yeah, right." She said, "No, Daddy, you don't understand. The house is on fire." Well, after about the second or third time, I thought maybe she ain't joking. Amen. So we pulled into the church, circled around the parking lot, got back out on the highway and headed back home. The phone began to ring. "Daddy, the fire trucks are in the yard. The house is on fire. It's up in flames." Well, 2 hours, that's a long ride. But 2 hours when you've been told the house is on fire, that makes it a real long ride. Amen. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the grace of God. I'm talking about the grace of God. So we get home. Sure enough, the fire's out, but the smoke is coming out the roof of the house. Everything at that time for 20, 22, 23 years had gone up in flames. Everything. Amen. What do you do now? What do you do now? You know what happened out of that story? Let me tell you what the grace of God does. You know what happened out of that story? We lost everything we had. What the fire didn't get, the smoke did. What the smoke didn't get, the water did. Everything was gone. Amen. What do you do now? Preacher, they give us 30. We had a 16 by 80 mobile home. That's what we had. They give us $30,000 for the house and the content, $30,000. You know as well as I do, that's not going to put you in another house. So you know how you are in those type of situations. What are we going to do? Amen. Start biting your fingernails and your toenails if you can reach them. Amen. What are we going to do? Pulling your hair out. What are we going to do? And so I get on the phone and I begin making phone calls and I begin trying to figure things out. You know how you do when you get in those situations? Trying to work it out on your own. Amen. What am I to do? Tear the house down and put it in a dumpster and haul it off that way? Have it pulled out? What am I supposed to do? While I'm on the phone, there's an incoming phone call. I answer the phone. He said, "Brother Phillip, we got news that your house burnt down." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, just so happens there's a family in our church that owns a mobile home company. They move trailers." He said, "We're going to come get that trailer for you. We'll move it for you. No cost." So time rocked on. I said, "Lord, how are we going to get another place to live? Me and my wife and 4 children living in a 2-bedroom, single-wide trailer with 1 bathroom. Now, when you got 4 girls in the house, that's bad trouble. Amen. How are we going to survive?" Let me tell you what the Lord did. The Lord put us in a brand new 24 by 80 mobile home cost about $130,000 and paid every dime of it, and we don't owe nothing on it. Amen. I'm telling you, He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to help you. That's what I'm trying to do. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But there's a God that's willing and able to work in your life and to bring you through on the other side. Amen. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen. Man, this thing's about over, preacher. I'm glad one day we're checking out of here. Amen. Your struggles, your heartaches, your difficulties, they're about over. Amen. One day we're going home. Thank God for that. Amen. How do you handle hardness? How do you handle hardness? It's through the Word of God. Keep your mind, keep a focus on what God's given you to do. And remember, the grace of God is always available. Let's pray. Lord, I pray You take these few scattered thoughts. I know that's what You put on my heart tonight. Pray, Lord, You use them. I don't know these dear people. I don't know where they are, what they're facing. Don't know what the church is facing. But I pray, Lord, You take something that's been said tonight. Use it to speak to their heart. Encourage them. Meet their needs. Bless this church. Bless this pastor. Thank You for this opportunity. And for what You do, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.